Yep.
All right, everything's kicked on that needs to be on?
Yes.
All right. We'll go ahead and call this meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Mellow?
Here.
Commissioner Lindler?
Here.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Chair Fowle?
Present.
Thank you.
At this time, we have an opportunity for any unscheduled appearances. Anyone wishing to address the Planning Commission on an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, any conflicts of interest to declare? Seeing none, you will find in the agenda packet the process for presentation of documents, the availability of public records. I will quickly run through the public hearing protocol for today's special meeting on the vision statement for the general plan update. I will introduce it. Staff will present a report. There'll be any additional correspondence will be submitted. Other county departments needing to weigh in will do so. The commission will have an opportunity to ask staff questions at that time. Then I'll open the public hearing, at which time all of you who are so eagerly here in attendance to share your thoughts on the matter, we'll have an opportunity at the podium. I remind you to please give our wonderful secretary your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes. Once the opportunity for speaking is over, we'll close the hearing and the commission will take it up amongst ourselves for an action at that time. Right of appeal statement can be found in the packet. Are there any changes to the agenda at this time, Ms. Lang?
Nope.
Okay. So I will go ahead and introduce new business agenda item one, the visioning and guiding principles status review for the 2050 Siskiyou County General Plan update. And in case Ms. Lang does not include this in her introduction, for those who generously gave of their time to attend today, this guiding principle, which we are addressing today, will guide the development and the updates that take place within the general plan moving forward. And so it is, as the commission felt, utmost importance to have input on this item, so to accurately guide staff, us, and those assisting us in coming up with the best general plan update for Siskiyou County that we can. With that, Ms. Lang, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. Haley Lang, Planning Director. So before you all today in the staff report packet, we have two different versions of the vision statement and guiding principles. So attachment one, version one, right, is a more concise version related to the statement and guiding principles. And attachment two, revision two, is the older version that was presented during the October 15th joint planning and Board of Supervisors meeting with comments from the Karuk tribe. And so that's really kind of why we're all here today, because we did have this item agendized a few months back, and it was the commission's wish to bring this forward as a special meeting based on the very detailed comments from the Karuk tribe. So the commission kind of wanted to have a more robust discussion related to those detailed comments. And so how staff has set this up today, we have two different PowerPoints, one being version one, one being version two. And so we just kind of wanted to workshop it, throw it up on the screen, whatever version you want to start with.
You're talking about option one.
Yes, correct. Whatever you want to start with, we can go from there and kind of, you know, dialogue and work through any revisions. That was how we wanted to format the discussion today. I will say, generally speaking, the guiding principles, you know, they're the same for each version, right? So, and this was based on input from that joint meeting. So with the guiding principles, the focuses at this point are related to one, hazard, safety, and wildfire preparedness, two, natural resources and scenery, three, economic development, four, sense of community and unique lifestyle, and five, land use, housing, and infrastructure. And as Chair Fowl stated, you know, the purpose of having a vision statement and guiding principles within a general plan is to guide, you know, the county on how they would like to grow and develop, and that can mean a number of things. In addition to that, it really kind of sets the stage for the general plan and all of the general plan elements, right? The land use element, the conservation element, open space element, noise element, housing element, everything that we're required to do by state law. So, you know, it's important that we have consensus amongst the elected officials and the community and staff in order, you know, to have that footprint moving forward. So I just wanted to provide a general summary, and then James, you know, my senior planner, James, will be helping out with writing down the revisions. So that concludes my comments for now.
Okay. So, commissioners, is there a strong feeling of doing one before the other, or shall we do them numerically and start with one and then have comment on one, and then we'll move to two and have comment on two, and then essentially treat them like two separate? And I'm flexible in a council taking the chair's prerogative, dealing with option one kind of as project one, option two is project two. Do them.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm taking that prerogative, and that's how I'm going to roll them. So, Ms. Jarrett and Mr. Phelps, option one.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead and present, and then we'll go ahead and do a public comment on option one, and then we'll come back and have you do option two, and we'll come back and have public comment on option two, and then we can have a general discussion weighing one and the other.
James Phelps, Siskiyou County. Attachment one, what you see on the screen here, is a document that was produced after the October 15, 2024 meeting, the joint meeting held between the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commission. Staff took those comments back and created this vision statement. There are two options on this attachment one. The first one is more of a paragraph format. While she's fixing that, I will talk about option two. Option two on attachment one. During the meeting in October, the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commission expressed the desire to have the vision statement in a bullet point format. So we took that in mind and we created this.
Just so we're clear, attachment one is what we're calling option one.
Yes.
Attachment two is what we're calling option two.
Yes.
Within each attachment, there is an option one and two.
Yes.
So people don't get confused.
Yes.
Because I see some people scratching their heads. They say attachment one, option two. Attachment one is the full option one.
Yes.
Attachment two is option two. There are subsets options within each.
And you'll see at the bottom of that PowerPoint something in parentheses. Basically, that's to indicate that this attachment one does not include the Creek Tribe comments.
There we go.
I don't feel like I need to read that out loud. We can all read it ourselves. But very well. Siskiyou County is a vibrant and close-knit local community where everyone has the opportunity to be safe, healthy, and successful. We are a friendly, family-oriented community with thriving schools and abundant recreational, business, and industrial opportunities. Local neighborhoods continue to grow while keeping that small-town feel, with homes that are well-maintained and cared for. The county supports and advocates for the private property rights of local residents. The economy is diverse with quality employment opportunities in fields such as agriculture, technology, and renewable resources. Agricultural land continues to be conserved, and the county's rural heritage remains strong, and there is an emphasis on common sense stewardship of the environment and adaptive management of natural resources. That is option one of attachment one, the paragraph format. Yeah, next slide. So we took that paragraph format and following direction from the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, took that paragraph and turned it into bullet points. To build a sustainable, prosperous future for all, Siskiyou County strives to improve the lives of workers, visitors, and residents alike by focusing on the following priorities: continuing to support local schools and students, strengthening community resilience, encouraging new business opportunities, upholding the county's rural heritage, emphasizing private property rights, exercising sound stewardship of natural resources, prioritizing local community interests, promoting sustainable adaptive management practices, providing efficient, cost-effective government services. So those would be your two options for a vision statement, which does not include the Crook Tribe comments. Attachment two will be the version that includes the comments we received during our consultation process with the Crook Tribe.
Okay, so we're going to take a timeout, and on attachment one, what we're calling option one, and I'm abbreviating the agenda, and I'm going to flat out go ahead and open up public hearing.
Yeah.
Are there members of the public that wish to comment, make comment on attachment one, what we are calling option one? And if so, you're welcome to come up to the podium. Good. It looks like you filled out a speaker card. We can turn that in, give your name, your address, and go ahead and give us your thoughts. And this is on attachment one, what we're calling option one.
Thank you.
I'm Deborah Van Larkham, 413 Modoc Avenue in McLeod. I have just a question. It's come out in different forms, but on the one I printed out yesterday, it says the county continues to support and advocate for the private property rights of local citizens. I would just like clarification on what you mean by that statement.
In our county, I feel I'm talking for the Planning Commission and ask me, I would withdraw.
We can, or Ms. Lang, if go ahead. I mean, I'm willing to, but questions of staff that develop this, and the commission can chime in if they so choose.
Yeah, so, you know, with private property rights, you know, mostly with what we do is related to land use, right? So it's, you know, the intent to have kind of a comprehensive land use code that allows for residents on their private property to do what they would like to do on their property, and that there's processes for that, and that we're not being overbearing with the process and our regulations, and we are allowing for the process for folks to do what they want on their private property without, you know, government, you know, overreaching with requirements and regulations.
So that might apply to like cottage industries and things like that, or land use in general?
Cottage industries, that would be more like environmental health would be.
Yeah, I mean, all the current health and safety regulations are going to be in place, right? Mm-hmm. We're simply looking to respect private property ownership of America, essentially.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions on attachment one, option one? Yes?
I just walked in. Are you taking comments?
On attachment one, option one. We haven't gotten to option two yet. If you have a comment on option one, now is the time. We'll come back. That option will be available. The word option, I have a feeling, can be overused today. You will have that opportunity to cut. We will return to this if you so choose.
Okay.
Some more discussion about private property rights, county code, zoning. A lot of people think private property rights, you can go do whatever you want to go do on your property to a certain point.
Correct.
And that, how do you spell that out in county general plan so that if somebody has a question, they can go to staff in the planning department and get clarification, or if some issue arises where somebody's out of compliance because of a formal complaint filed. I don't think the general public has a real sense of what's truly in place about government regulation and government overreach. I know they don't have any sense of that. So I don't know, how do we bring that into this document, or do we?
What's an example of government overreach? What would you?
I will use, and counselor, tell me to shut up if I'm going beyond my purview. I will use an example from 2 years ago under it was pre-Miss Lang, pre-Mr. Dean, but because we have gone through, on my time here, 8 or 9 planning directors, a planning director had a position for a project on private land, and their determination was that that project was accessory to what they already did and gave it a thumbs up. In the course of a few months, that planning director left, a new planning director came in, and that new planning director said, whoa, time out. You need to get a permit for this, a permit for this, and a permit for this. It is not accessory to what you already do. If we had in the general plan clearly delineated approved uses based on zoning, that subjective decision would be removed, and it would be crystal clear for private property owners to know what they can and can't do and what permit would be required. And it will be the same now as it will be in 2050. Did I get myself in trouble or am I okay?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
That's one important component of it, yes.
As an example.
Yes.
And so, I would say what they can do at the county level.
Correct.
Because you still have federal and state laws that will
correct.
Build
we
on top of that.
We are looking solely at the county level. Commissioner Hart.
Yeah, you're looking at the county level. But the county also has to comply with CEQA, anything that comes through your department, which is a state process. So when you go through CEQA, you've got an environmental checklist of, 25 different items. You've got to analyze the level of new impact, and then you've got to come up with conditions and mitigations to cover whatever that issue is under that CEQA checklist. That should then also, maybe I'm making it complicated, but this is a zoning requirements that I've been dealing with for 25 years on this commission. And that spells it out. I don't know whether you need to have this incorporated as a addendum to the general plan. You folks already know it, but John Q. Public out there, if they come in and they want a copy of the general plan to see that, to make sure that county is not running over the top of what they think their property rights are. That's, you know, that's a huge issue in what Mr. Powell's talking about. There was a huge legal case with that very scenario that played out all the way through to the state Supreme Court here in Wisconsin. It cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if you get this nailed down where it is black and white of what you can and can't do, that's not going to stop some people from wanting to take it to court anyway.
I think one thing that's lax is that we have ordinance or zoning restrictions.
Right.
The person is violating that zoning restrictions. The county doesn't do anything about it. And that almost says, well, I guess that is that person's right. It's a developed a prescriptive right to violate
it. You cannot develop a prescriptive right against the government.
No, I'm just saying the perception of, okay, I'm going to do this. I know it's against the zoning laws, and the county doesn't do anything about it.
State Water Board does not follow their own rules and regulations. California Department of Fish and Wildlife have rules and regulations on the book right now that they are not enforcing. They actually went to court here several years ago to codify one of those codes, and they don't enforce it. So the onus is on us to do the best job we can to put this down in black and white so that the citizenry and the private property owners know what they can and can't do. So if somebody does file a complaint, whether it be valid or not, know what they have to deal with.
Well, yeah.
All right. With that being said, any more comments on attachment one, known as option one?
Choice one, sir.
Thank you. Attachment one, choice one. I saw a hand. Please, before we move on to attachment two, choice two, yes.
Good morning, Angelina Cook. I live at 540 Edgewood Court in McLeod. I am a little confused on what's going on here. I was wanting to comment on guiding principles. I'm not sure if those are going to be shown with or after the next option.
Yes.
Okay. I guess, and I'm also curious to see what the Carew comments were, but as far as this vision statement is concerned, I feel like the one thing that's missing is in second to last sentence down, the economy is diverse with quality employment opportunities in fields such as agriculture, technology, and renewable resources. I feel like outdoor recreation and tourism belong in there. Because it's kind of one of the things that is currently working for Siskiyou County. I also encourage any of the statements to really emphasize the unique quality and character of our towns. I feel like unlike a lot of the counties down south, the communities in Siskiyou are really unique and have a distinct feeling. You don't feel like you're just in California. So just maintaining that unique small town character, which is kind of in there, but I feel like it could be a little more emphasized. Anyway, those are my comments for this paragraph.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to comment on attachment one, choice one?
Hi, I'm Darlene Mathis, and I also live in McLeod. And I just started getting involved in here because we didn't realize that you guys even had a community meeting in which I think it was last June, and not one person attended because nobody got the message. So it's kind of odd coming here to do a vision statement when I know the community in McLeod has not been involved at all for their portion. Our family, we own two properties, one in North Siskiyou and one in South Siskiyou. And it's so different between the two regions, you know, two areas. But yesterday when I was shown option one, it was, I guess, the draft vision. and it did have the historic character and all that in there. That's gone now, I notice, in option one. So I'm just wondering what happened there. And I think North County agriculture is a really big deal, you know, with the Williamson Act and all that, and to preserve that. South County, it's our historic character and our unique little community. And so it's just, it's, you know, they both have good qualities like that. But I feel like vision statements, you go through all these steps and sometimes it's, there's no teeth in it and all that. And so if you're really going to have a vision statement, do something, it's almost like, you know, like if someone's going to buy a piece of property, a private person, and they know there's a historic structure on there, they know what they're buying. They shouldn't be able to just come in and just tear it all down without a demolition permit, especially if it's on the historic register. And so that's happened in McLeod many times. And when we've called and say, hey, you know, why are you guys tearing this down? They're like, well, we can't do anything about it. Even though the state, when we call the state, they say, well, the county should be protecting it because it's under the register. So I just feel that if you're really going to do a vision statement, then follow up with some planning guidelines or building guidelines so that a private owner, when they buy the property, they know what they're getting into and the steps, you know, beforehand. But to try to preserve what makes all these communities unique. I mean, you go to the Bay Area, every town looks the same. They all have a Michaels, or they have a Target, and they have all this, and it all looks the same. Siskiyou County is unique, because Dunsmuir looks different, McLeod looks different, Montague, you know, they're all different communities, and that's the charm of Siskiyou, I think. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we move on, question for council or staff. Good question here. I'll preface it since you missed the opening. The vision statement that we end up deciding to move forward with today is going to guide the updates to the general plan. So when we hit a section of the general plan for review and update, we're going to, staff will say, is this compatible and work in concert with the vision statement? If it doesn't, staff's going to be bringing that to us, saying, what would you like to do? So the vision statement in this sense is guiding that update. Now, having said that, interesting question just brought up, which I don't recall seeing in the general plan that we are currently operating under, but that is the relationship of the historical register and responsibility thereof if changes are desired to be made, whether it be an update to the building,
sure,
bringing it up to code, or, as was stated, a demolition and build something new.
Yeah.
Where does that fit? Do we have it or no?
I don't believe we have that in our current general plan, but something related to, you know, architecture, historic, you know, buildings, things like that. A lot of that is nailed down in, like, specific policies, right? So let's say someone is submitting a use permit to do, like, weddings or something in a historic building in McLeod, for example, right? Hypothetical. So when we bring that project to you guys, we, you know, that project needs to meet all of the policies, right? So that would be one, you know, confirm that, you know, it's compliant with that process, because that's a very detailed, you know, specific thing, right? So that would be really best served as, like, either a countywide policy or an area policy, or staff, you know, is required to go through all the policies and then communicate to you guys whether or not the project would meet that.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Hart?
No, I'm going to go back to private property now, Chairman, and this historical announcement. How to say somebody comes in and buys a piece of property, I don't care where it is in the county, and they either have to want to change, knock it down, build something new, whatever. what jurisdiction does the county then have to come in and tell that person, no, you can't knock that building down?
So
you have to leave, you can upgrade it, or can you even upgrade it?
So it depends, because there's parameters on historic buildings, and sometimes there's federal recognition, and sometimes there's state recognition, and then sometimes there's local. So I think it really depends on how it's legally defined, because then that, there's different requirements for kind of each of those levels of government based on the building.
So is there demolition permits, and is there a demolition permit?
We, at the county level, we do have demolition permits, yes.
So this is interesting, and it, Commissioner Hart's comment sparked my memory from 42 years ago, 41 years ago, 44 years ago. We have, the house I was born in and grew up in is historical, the Ohio Stage House. And I can remember in 78, when we wanted to simply add a back porch onto the back of the house, which is where one carriage house had been. The director at that time fought us tooth and nail and said, no, you can't do it. But then they left, and we got Mr. Barnum in, and Mr. Barnum came in and said, it's an add-on as long as you maintain the architecture of the rest of the building, it's fine. And we were able to add on a back porch to where the carriage house no longer was. But once again, it's a subjective decision by a director, not necessarily black and white, as you're pointing out, can it be done or can it be done?
Well, if somebody goes and invests a lot of money in buying a piece of property, that doesn't show up on the title report anymore.
Right.
And it's kind of, you know, buyer beware.
Well, I'm looking to someone who may be able to answer that question. I'm trying to remember on title report for the easement. I believe it is itemized that the house is a historical landmark.
It probably depends on each individual property as to
okay.
whether or not it's registered or...
Or on the title.
Or if it's on the
oh, come forward and share that, please. I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, I need it for the minute.
Yes. We'll let her speak and then. Right. That is a good question.
Hi. I'm Alexis Robertson. I work with the Siskiyou Land Trust. And we do pretty frequent title reports searches for properties that we work in. And so I think that's why Mr. Callis asked me to come up and speak to this. There, like, within the title report itself, it will talk about the historic nature of the property, and not every property will say whether it has historic implications to it. Also, if it were a recorded document, I imagine a historic registry would be on the title, so that would be available to the purchaser.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key point. If a previous owner has added that to, then it will continue to show. But if it has never been put on, no one would ever know. Right, correct. Unless you end up getting a call for people wanting to do tours every summer. And then you kind of say, oh, we are on the register. Are we okay to move on? Okay. Any other comments on attachment one, choice one? All right. Mr. Phelps, attachment.
Can you get the next slide? So, looking at this attachment one, this is choice two on attachment one. This is simply that paragraph that you saw previously converted into a bullet point format. We have to build a sustainable, prosperous future for all. Siskiyou County strives to improve the lives of workers, visitors, and residents alike by focusing on the following priorities. Continuing to support our local schools and students, strengthening community resiliency, encouraging new business opportunities, upholding the county's rural heritage, emphasizing private property rights, exercising sound stewardship of natural resources, prioritizing local community interests, promoting sustainable adaptive management practices, and providing efficient, cost-effective government services.
Okay, so we've been through this. This is the second time. This goes with the attachment one verbatim or verbal. This is the bullet point. Anyone wish to make a comment on this before we go to attachment two?
We have, Chair Val, we have on attachment one also the guiding principles. Basically, the attachments.
Oh, okay.
One attachment has the approved tribe comments. The other attachment does not. So following this slide, there'll be a slide with all the guiding principles that do not include the Karuk tribe comments.
Okay. Is there anyone here who desires to go through the attachment one guiding principles? Or I'm guessing most people are here to look at and comment on attachment twos. Mr. Phelps, I'm giving you the prerogative. Hold on. Commissioner Hart.
Yeah, I want to go back to option two here. Exercising the sound stewardship of natural resources.
So bullet point six.
That seems kind of
vague.
How do you force somebody that has private property to exercise that? Staff? Council? That's a great statement, but still, I can assure you there's lots of stuff out in my neck of the woods where that is not occurring.
Yeah. They're exercising unsound stewardship.
Absolutely.
I would certainly see that sound stewardship speaks to the government of Siskiyou County exercising sound stewardship, not private property.
So that we put that clarifying statement there.
Yeah. Perhaps a better word would be support instead of exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioner Hart, how would you like that phrase to be reworded, sir?
Support the county government.
We can make that change so we can see.
Support or promote or something.
Eliminate the word exercising and insert the word support.
Yeah. The county government supports that.
Yes, so this is the general plan.
Wants to add Siskiyou County to that.
Support sound stewardship of natural resources.
Is County of Siskiyou or Siskiyou County not understood as this is the vision statement for the county and the general plan for this county?
I think it's in the first.
Yeah, it's in the first sentence. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
I just want to clarify so
that's
that,
it. Yes.
You know, it's.
Yep, understood.
Could we change it?
To support.
Support.
Sounds. Support. Bullet point six. Should this be the attachment that we move forward with? All right, Mr. Okay. Phelps, on to the fun one then. Attachment number two.
Do you want to go, Your Honor?
The feeling of the commission, do you want to go? Oh, do you want to go through those, Commissioner Hart? Okay, well, we're going to be going through a second set.
Through the chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Exercising. Just recognizing, and this may be something for discussion, right? So in option one of attachment.
Choice one?
Choice one, attachment one. There's a mention of agriculture. I don't see that in the bullet points on option two that was captured. Throw that out.
Is it in the catch-all?
I would, yeah. Being with my background, the bullet point that we just modified, natural resources, mm-hmm. It falls under there. Promoting sustainable adaptive management practices, it falls under there. Mm-hmm. Is it spelled out specifically? No, but your point is understood. I think it's caught under several of these. Strengthening community resiliency, it falls under there. It's a component everywhere. I don't know what say the rest of the commission.
This time, no comment, sir.
Well, let's go back up here to this first paragraph here, it says agricultural land continues to be conserved to a point until that land then becomes uneconomically feasible because of government overregulation. How can you conserve something and continue to push that when you've got a piece of property there that will then fall out of Williamson Act because no agricultural activity can support that? Then what happens to it?
I would just try to reframe this into the picture, right? What we're here to do is looking in the future, what do you want? Do you want to have agriculture? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Right? So at the vision statement level,
mm-hmm. okay.
hypothetical of what happened in the future, mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to dictate
no.
entirely.
No.
So the point here is 50 years from now, do you want to have agriculture? Yes or no? I mean, simplify. But that's it. Well, at this point, what we need to drill down to put in the vision statement, basically, looking out 50 years. What do we want to shoot for? Right?
I'm just looking at what I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Where everything north of me was dry land farming. That's all gone because it's not economically feasible anymore.
Yeah.
My family quit doing it back in the 40s. So.
Yes, I understand.
Commissioner Lindner.
I'm just wondering to that point, because this is a long-term document, and a lot of people don't necessarily consider ag in the natural resources bucket.
No.
That I think we probably should promote a line item
yes.
for that, as well as a line item. I potentially it could be considered under encouraging new business opportunities. But the recreation and tourism piece is important to South County. And I don't see that necessarily split out. And I think we should probably highlight those two things, the ag and the other.
Do you have some suggested language for staff to insert in red?
Thank you, Chair.
Something to the effect of, supporting sound stewardship of natural resources, a new bullet point, maybe under that. Supporting recreation and tourism. I don't think it needs to be over wordy. I think it just needs to be highlighted. So and then as far as the ag piece, could you promoting sustainable adaptive management practices?
Commissioner, you could put it in number four, bullet point four, after rural heritage, perhaps.
Upholding the county's rural heritage and conserving agricultural land.
That would work, sir.
Where is it? Bullet point four, after rural heritage.
What do you think about that? Hart.
Commissioner Hart, you're I'm running through my mind about
promoting
sustainable adaptive management practices, folding that into what you're going with things. As an example, this is my own personal management decision that we made because of Wolf showing up. We changed our whole business model. Not because of government regulation, but because of environmental condition.
Correct.
Is that what that's meant here? That each private landowner in agriculture, we can't require them to change their business model. That's going to have to be a decision they make.
Correct.
But you can promote it.
Yes.
But don't make it regulatory.
Correct.
How do you promote it? That either you change or you die. That's the reality of it.
Right.
It's the same thing with all the fish and water issue. Either you adapt and you change your management practices, or you're going to go out of business. And then what happens to the property?
Seeing the natural resources. Go ahead.
Okay. Rachel has put up their, it's fine above, just in my, in my mind, I see it as being right below prioritizing local community interests. Then, whether it's support or whether it is promote recreation and tourism opportunities, recreational and tourism opportunities. And I think that was a comment made earlier on this one.
So you're saying you want promote instead of support?
I'm not picky on the word choice there.
I will put whatever you want.
Support and promote.
Both.
Okay, Commissioner Mello has just suggested use them both, support and promote.
That's good.
Covers all the bases then.
Good.
You have a question out there?
Can you come to the speaker table?
Come on up.
All right.
I was just considering agricultural land is super important, but also so is working forests and forestry land. So what about working lands instead of that, just specifically to cover more bases?
Say that again.
Working lands.
Working lands would encompass your uplands plus your lowlands.
Yep.
I like that.
Instead of agricultural?
Well, yeah, and maybe even instead of just natural resources, because natural resources.
Stewardship of working lands. Yes?
Yeah, maybe instead of that promoting sustainable adaptive management, we just put, sound stewardship of working landscapes or something to that effect.
What's a non-working?
Capitalize that.
What would be a non-working?
Sound stewardship of natural resources changing to sound stewardship of working lands.
Working landscapes.
Working landscapes.
What was
Commissioner?
Yes,
we just had a question.
What's the definition of working land? So,
a working landscape is one that can drive an economic value. So a working landscape would be one that, you know, in what we're talking about right now would be agriculture, rather it's grazing or you're growing alfalfa. It could be deriving value from, in forestry, everything from, selling carbon to harvesting timber to something with an economic driver. At least that's how I interpret it.
And a short blip generates revenue on the stewardship of natural resources. Revenue
sir, I would hesitate to remove natural resources only because that includes like open space and our parks, that sort of thing, and other resources that we have in those areas. When you talk about working landscapes, that really limits it from open space. So perhaps we could do what Commissioner Mello had done on the prior and say, use and include them both.
Yeah, I agree with this point because just in me even trying to Commissioner.
For example, is a conservation easement, is that working land?
Yes.
It can be.
It can be.
Yes. Yeah, conservation easement doesn't mean hands off. It just restricts potentially development, but a lot of CEs are working.
I don't mean to make too much of it. It just seems that's a very vague landscape for working land. Anyway, that's just me.
It's an accepted term today that we didn't use in the past.
Yeah. Well said, sir.
And I do agree to finish my comment about keeping natural resources because there are a lot of important natural resources that don't always derive a consistent flow of income. you know, I do a lot of meadow restoration, and those, I would argue, are extremely important to habitat, but we don't necessarily derive, we spend money on those areas.
Correct. Okay.
So.
Thank you.
All right. So, Commission, do we want to run through the guiding principles as with attachment one, or do we want to hold off discussion on the guiding principles of attachment two? Okay. So, Mr. Phelps.
Yes, sir.
Attachment two.
Thank you, sir.
Choice one. And before you do that, Ms. Janine, do we need to take a 5-minute break?
No, I just...
We're okay?
Yeah.
Ms. Rachel?
Yep.
Through the chair. Can you go back to that slide? I was writing down that last bullet point of tourism. I'm sorry.
Support and promote.
Oh, it was promote. Okay.
Support and promote.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thumbs up. She got
done?
It.
And you guys wanted attachment two now?
Yes.
So attachment two is basically attachment one, but it has been edited to include comments received from the Creek tribe through our SB 18 tribal consultation process. This says, Siskiyou County is a vibrant and close-knit community with scenic landscapes, where everyone has the opportunity to be safe, healthy, and successful. From our thriving agricultural industry to the sustainable use of our natural resources, the economy is powered by abundant natural resources, tourism, and ample recreational activities. In looking to the future, local neighborhoods will continue to grow while still retaining that small town feel with homes that are well maintained and cared for. The county continues to support and advocate for the private property rights of local residents. Agricultural land is conserved and the county's rural heritage remains strong. In coordination with private, state, federal, and tribal partners, the county protects from wildfire and natural hazards by promoting sustainable and holistic stewardship of the natural environment.
Okay, so attachment two. Choice one. Comments, questions, suggestions from the public. None at this time. We can come back. We're very flexible with this meeting today.
Yeah.
So if something comes to your mind in a bit, that's fine. Do you have something you'd like to come to the podium, please? We need it for the minutes.
And can you state your name for the people
Memphis.
Listening, please? Thank you.
I mean, I don't know which one between option one, two, or three, but I keep seeing, like, even in that option two and all that, but. If we could put, for South County, the historic character back into these. It's like they disappeared from the very beginning of that. And as a private owner, too, a lot of times we look for historic properties because you get a great tax credit. So there's a lot of good things about trying to save some of the structures. And now they're flexible enough with the state historic code that you can do changes and revisions to structures without losing the registry, you know, so they're a lot more flexible than they used to be in the 70s or stuff. But anyway, so I think it's important for McLeod to have that historic character to try to protect it. And then the other thing is housing and all of these options of having, I don't know how you want to state it, but something about flexible zoning and flexible building codes that Siskiyou County, we can't afford to, like, sometimes build big apartment complexes or anything, but to be able to do infill projects or put housing on Main Street above businesses and things like that, and then that actually makes your downtown safer because you have someone living there at night, you know. And Main Street in McLeod, we live there, and we know if someone's downtown, and it's actually one of the safer streets in McLeod is Main Street. So if we could do some flexible zoning for the future for housing. Thank you.
Staff, on the, that comment about the historical character, would you mind in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
support staff?
Following small town feel, comma, add historical character, comma, then continue with homes that are well maintained and cared for. See what that looks like. Let people ruminate on that for a bit. Anyone else with comments, questions, suggestions on attachment two, choice one? Commissioner Mello?
Historical tax reductions, is that still enforced? Because this was brought up a number of years ago about what determines that it's historical, number one, and number two, does it qualify for tax cuts? And I may be in the wrong place, but this was brought up somewhere. It may have been brought up at the League of California Cities because I was on that board a long time ago, 20 years ago.
Mr. Chair, I have no idea. I do not have much knowledge at all about law about historical buildings. I've never dealt with them.
Okay. Thank you.
I would just add, it's out of our purview. The assessor's office would have it.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how, because I do remember it being brought up because they were getting pretty good tax cuts. And some of the counties, or I think I was on the, but anyway, long story short, I remember it was addressed, and what the outcome was, I have no idea. Thank you.
Commissioner Hart, do you have something on the tip of your tongue?
I have some real qualms about this historical aspect. Somebody buys a piece of property, and it's been designated as a historical site, and yet it is in such disrepair that it's not economically feasible to try and bring it up to code. It'd be a lot cheaper to just knock it down and start from the ground up. Is there a prohibition against that?
Well, I think that's a question we had earlier for Ms. Lang. The county requires a demolition permit.
Right.
But does the county have jurisdiction if the structure is listed as historic to deny said demolition permit?
I think
can you force somebody not to tear down a building they just bought with the intent to tear it down and build?
Mr. Chair, I would guess there's independent state laws that might do that. I know, I just looked in our county code to verify. I knew already we have nothing speaking to historic structures whatsoever. So in and by itself, the county code doesn't appear like it would forbid tearing down the structure. But then when you get the state historical registries, and I suppose there's federal ones too, the property owner may be constrained by those. I'm not sure, and probably a question for our building official, if they have to double check with the state before the building official issues a demolition permit. I don't know, actually Mr. Dean's right here, you may know better. But.
And then through the chair, there's also things, you know, locally, such as like local historic districts and things like that, which have certain parameters of what you can and can't do, right? So if we're talking about what the county can and can't do, right? If hypothetically we had, you know, essentially like a zoning layer or something like that of a historic area, neighborhood, things like that, typically that's kind of where those, what you can and can't do, play into it related to buildings, demolition, updates, things like that too, so.
Yeah, fortunately / unfortunately, use the example of the Denny Bar, but that's in an incorporated in the city of Aetna. And talking to Cole and Sparrow, I know they went, jumped up through a lot of hoops, over a lot of hurdles, with a lot of permits to do the update that they did in that building. Not only just to bring it up to code to be a restaurant, but the fact that it was historical. I'm curious.
That was through the state or through the city?
Well, it's in the incorporated area of Aetna, so it would have been handled by city, state, fed, wherever. There were a lot of hoops for them to go through, beyond just code for serving food.
Historic districts had a lot of popularity when they started, and then after a while, people don't like them anymore, and it's very hard to enforce. Take the city away, Rico. You know, it was a good idea 30 years ago. And
yeah.
It be cute. But then after a while, people say, yeah, it's too expensive, and I don't want to paint my building like you say. I want to paint it like this. So they all sound good, but it's very hard to maintain them over the years.
And through the chair, there is a process to designate something historical, right? So just because there might be a old building that has value, you know, there's also a process to designate something as a historical building or landmark, right?
Through the chair, through the historical designation, is there not a process to determine whether it can be removed so that you can reuse the land? Is there anything in the property rights of individual that deals with this specifically that you're aware of?
There may be. I mean, we typically don't deal with, you know, historical designations and commissions and things like that. I haven't really in my time, but I'm sure there is, you know, a
So would that be a state process. Thing that you'd have to? Because usually historical things are state or federal, are they not?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd probably have to go to them for whatever.
Yeah.
To rehabilitate or take down.
Typically, yeah, it's either a state or federal designation.
But to your knowledge, there is a process that you could go through. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. For recorded buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, but how many buildings are out there that are not recorded? In your permit process to tear down a building, what's the public right to come in and protest? Or is there an ears? Is just an ministerial?
I believe it's process. It's a ministerial property owner comes in, wants to demo a building within the building department process outside of planning.
I just don't want to go stomping on somebody's rights.
That's right. That's where I'm going with this.
And I don't want to just give a neighbor, I might love that old building, and I'm going to try to do everything I can to stop you from remodeling it or tearing it down or whatever. Because then what's the community like to do? You know,
it's a fine line.
There's a real fine line here.
It's a fine line to also not, to promote one thing and then not, we have a bullet point of emphasizing private property rights. So it's a fine line that's very subjective, I think.
Yeah. So. We don't want to get into a situation where somebody comes in, they buy a building, and all of a sudden, they're not really there watching it, and somebody comes in and squats on it. Then you got a huge legal mess for the property owner, the county and the state. It's just,
Okay.
I'm going down the road.
Mr. D.
I just wanted to make a comment, just a general comment. With the property right conversation, and in the context that Darlene mentioned earlier, right? So you as a person go to purchase whatever it is, a historic building, right? You understand what you're buying, what it is. You go and purchase a commercial zone property. There are conditions with that property that you have to understand that you have to abide by. So the public or the private property rights are really not direct at issue here, right? Because it's built into the zoning that the land use develops, right? So there are parameters in place with what can be done to that piece of ground based on the overall plan that's developed. So I'm just kind of concerned we get in the weeds a little bit too much here.
I appreciate that clarification.
Okay. How does this apply to farm buildings?
to the farm.
Barns, shops, old stuff that's been around.
It doesn't, Your Honor. In order to be in a historic district, the property owner has to apply for and have their building placed into that district,
yeah.
Right? It's not imposed. Once you have it placed into the district, then you get, Commissioner Mello touched on it earlier, then you get tax credits. The point of entering into a historic district is you get this tax credit to renovate the building. All the money that you put in, you can deduct off. Well, it's a credit on your taxes, not a deduction. But in exchange for that, you're also bound by certain requirements. You can't just tear it down, just like you can't just put a porch onto that. But in exchange, you know, you're getting something for that. So it's a choice that the property owner makes to enter into that. It's not something that the county would ever. And a lot of the historic districts in our county are in towns, right, in the city. So it's outside of the county's purview. So old barns, that sort of thing, unless you place that into a historic district, it wouldn't apply, sir.
And it does increase your insurance. I will tell you that. As soon as you have a structure that is on the register, your insurance goes up.
Yeah,
for that structure.
I just want to clarify that County of Siskiyou, we don't have a local preservation ordinance, so we're not bound to have, you know, a historic review of buildings and things like that. If the county did, it would be different. But at this point, we don't have a local ordinance, you know, dictating the process to designate something locally. And then obviously there's a process, like James was mentioning, to designate something on the state level or the federal level.
Does CEQA would address the historical sites in any way?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they. It is included.
Yeah, there's a process within CEQA too for that.
Well, it's good to know that the state just didn't come in and say,
right.
We're building historic and.
No, yeah. It's up to the owner
correct,
to get it on the register.
Yes.
My timber harvest plant in Old Cabin.
I know the city of Dunsmuir has a huge historic district, and all the property owners down there are very eager to be in it because they have a lot of advantages. And at the same time, it beautifies the downtown. So it's same with McLeod.
I just don't want to set up a situation where you got one neighbor who doesn't like another neighbor and I want that building left there. You just leave it alone. I'm going to create hope. We just don't need that. We've got too much of that.
Okay. Let's move on to attachment two, option.
Choice two.
Attachment two, choice two.
So choice two is, again, the bullet point format, which includes the Creek Tribe comments. We have to build a sustainable, prosperous future for all. Siskiyou County strives to improve the lives of workers, visitors, and residents alike by focusing on the following priorities. Maintaining the county's rural heritage, there's an extra space there, including the right to farm, the right to gather traditional foods in open range, expanding business opportunities based on agriculture, the natural resources economy, and local tourism, emphasizing private property rights while encouraging sound stewardship of renewable resources, working with tribal partners to increase regional biodiversity by implementing sustainable forest management practices to increase habitat quality, quantity, and connectivity, increasing support for local schools and creating educational opportunities for rural communities, prioritizing local community interests, including wildfire and natural hazard mitigation, while also providing efficient, cost-effective government services.
Okay. So comments, questions? On attachment to choice two.
The right to gather traditional foods. Can you expand on that? Would that be acorns or what is it?
Yes, in certain, I wouldn't say acorns because it depends on the tribe, right? But in this area, it could be acorns, but also. Naturally growing foods that can be eaten.
Mushrooms?
Yes.
Yes, that sort of thing. And the tribe was concerned that we keep that open and include that.
I want to put some sidebar on it. I haven't got a problem with that.
But speak up, I'm sorry.
I haven't got a problem, that's fine. But there needs to be clarification. That doesn't, we're not going to bestow a right to the public to go on somebody's private property to allow that to happen.
Oh, of course, sir. That's not an issue.
Well, I know that's assumed, but do we need to put it in writing?
Trespassing is never allowed.
How big a can of worms do you want to open?
Am I nitpicking? Yeah, I'm nitpicking.
Yeah,
absolutely I am.
Well, it's interesting that the next two words are open range, right?
Well, I'm going to jump on that one, too.
Open range gathering.
Before you continue, Commissioner Hart, I'm going to take a risk, and because I did speak to an individual about this specific language on the traditional foods, and there is a concern amongst some in the tribal community that there will be restrictions placed or laws passed similar to what has happened in some other states where it has become illegal to collect rainwater off your roof. You can't do it, or you have to get a permit to do it. And there is a concern that in the public land domain that there may be restrictions for gathering mushrooms, juniper berries, what have you. They are wanting, there's a desire to protect that ability to be able to do what they have done. Okay. And I'm just giving, I'm adding that for context, for that language, with the individual I spoke to.
All right, so we have an entity that's purchased pretty much all the industrial timberland in the county in the last couple of years. And they pretty well locked it up. And we have this mix of industrial timber, forest service, and how do I say this? That are they going to find defenses that we're going to put something in place here that, again, people aren't going to go out and force to know where the boundary is
accessible.
Such and such land isn't good at forest of this land. The deer hunting community is up in arms about all the roads that are blocked off. That's probably one of the right. So, go ahead. I just don't know, there's going to be some problems arise out of this.
Unless Commissioner Hart.
Clarification.
Will that address
there
your
you
concern?
Go. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. I know I'm being obstinate about this.
Go ahead.
I don't think you are to the point of the comment you alluded to. Because I'm drug personally into the middle of that with lands I manage. Mm-hmm. And so I think to clarify, like Ms. Jarrett just did, make sure that the intent of what is being asked isn't lost, because there is a thing of creep of it means this today, but it can be subjective tomorrow, and we deal with that a lot. I support adding that language.
Through the chair,
yes.
You just said about being subjective. That ain't ever going to change.
I know, but we can help clarify.
And I don't
clarify.
Care how you write it, how people look at it, it's not ever going to change.
No, I know. That's why I like to use the
plain
English.
So we do as best we can.
Best you can.
That's it.
Other comments, questions, suggestions for attachment to... Choice two.
Am I missing?
Come on up, and we're going to get you in the minutes. We'll make you famous.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Or infamous.
Jay Martin, Aetna, California, Siskiyou County. Is there culture listed in there? I think that's a very important part
general culture or a specific culture?
Well, in reference to gathering traditional foods, it's culture related, and I think, I know it's splitting hairs, but me gathering my traditional food versus their traditional food could kind of be a sticky widget.
Good point.
Thank you.
I don't think that should happen. Yes. Yes.
I mean, somewhere incorporating.
The right to gather traditional foods. Yeah, because, I mean, the way it reads now, I mean, it's just left up to the general public.
Yes.
You know, my... So, without being specific, which I almost think is a good thing, because you're not singling out a particular group.
We have lots of cultures in our community. Each culture has their own traditions. By not stating culture, we leave it open as all-inclusive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Other comments on 2-2? Yes,
I
saw a hand. Oh, Councillor, go ahead, and then the hand that I saw.
Mr. Chair, I'm just thinking about the right to gather traditional foods on lands open to the public. I unfortunately probably no one here from the Karuk tribe is here to speak to that. I think there's a difference between what to gather and where to gather. And originally I read that as what to gather, which is traditional foods. On lands open to the public, I don't know if we're giving people rights on lands they don't own to go do things, when really the right to gather traditional foods should just apply to people, to lands on which the people themselves own, rather than giving a right to go gather things off public lands.
Do we not own the public land?
Yes, Jeff. Jeff. Yes, publicly owned, but
Commissioner Hart brings up a point. There is, on Forest Service land, a specific window, a season for mushrooms.
Yeah,
we're good. Too technical.
Well, that is where I'm thinking. U.S. Forest is public land, but I can't just go cut down wood because it's public.
That's a good point, too.
To the chair.
So what are you suggesting, sir?
Well, I'm suggesting, public lands are regulated and there are controls on it. I was only suggesting that perhaps it's implied that it's not necessarily an unregulated right. Perhaps I'm just stating what's implied anyways, but what I'm trying to say is people can't go onto public lands and simply destroy it or eliminate everything.
So you're thinking that the added words on lands open to the public be stricken, and that it is, for lack of a better term, understood if the activity would occur on lands that the individuals have permission to exercise that activity. Like I have some who ask for permission to collect juniper berries and acorns of a specific variety. Go ahead, go do it. Likewise, if it's allowed on public land, they can do that too. We're supporting that.
Thank you. I think those are what my thoughts are. I try not to get into too much into the substance of it, but I wanted to just bring to mind a thought I had about basically what you're saying, that we're not extending rights that don't already exist.
And the thing to remember, this is a guiding statement for the development of the update of the general plan. This is not law. This is not county code, not a county ordinance, not a county policy. This is a guiding vision for development of the plan. So are we good with striking from on to public? Okay, Commissioner Hart's giving me an uh-huh.
I'll second, why do we even have that in there? Or are we setting ourselves up? I'm not denying it's a right, but it's, we have the right to convey that right. Whereas on private land, yes. But it's implied on public land. In some ways we shouldn't be getting.
I think not.
No.
Because I think on the example that the individual gave me, they're concerned about requiring a permit on private property to set up rain collection barrels is flat out wrong. And we don't need to head down that path.
No.
And I would say this needs to be protected, this right. If I'm on my land and I want to collect juniper trees, I don't want the state or the county telling me I need to get a permit to do it.
And if it's public land, I feel the same way as you do.
Check in with Forest Service, check in with BLM, make sure it's allowable and do it. Yep. Okay, so let's strike that red.
So keep it the original.
Go back to the original on that.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Okay, there was a hand, Ms. Cook.
I am wanting to.
Can you say your name for the people on Zoom? Thank you.
Yeah, we have to do it each time because we have it in the minutes. Our clerk is very detail oriented, unlike most clerks, and that's why we love her so much.
And persnickety too. So it's for Zoom too. People listening.
Angelina Cook. I'm from McLeod. I am wanting to address the second bullet point on kind of economic development. I really want to encourage us to emphasize what is currently working. I recommend inserting outdoor recreation in there. And I also want to encourage diversify and expand business opportunities. I feel like we're moving more towards supporting small businesses rather than waiting for the big business to come in. Also, I don't know if it belongs in here, but something about, I don't want to say affordable housing, but I do want to say kind of workforce housing as far as housing opportunities that don't only cater to the wealthy, that we in Siskiyou County, we have a need to revitalize our opportunities for young families and worker families to relocate here. With telecommuting and remote work. I don't know if it belongs here, but I do think the plan should include something about affordable housing without saying affordable, which you can use workforce housing. Thank you.
Ms. Jarrah?
Yes.
Could you humor me and turn diverse into the word diversify, put it in front of expanding, so it says diversify and expand business opportunities.
Diversify?
And expand instead of expanding. Thank you. And then just make that red because noted we did change it. So that addresses one of the comments.
She put it after expand. Oh, she did it. I see.
Yeah, check. The other comment was on
outdoor recreation.
Thoughts of the commission? Local tour. Natural resources, economy, outdoor recreation inserted, and local tourism.
So the second bullet after natural resources, you want it to say what?
Okay, where it says the natural resources economy, insert outdoor recreation in red, and then close it out, and local tourism. Ms. Cook, yes?
That's exactly.
Okay. Other comments on 2-2?
I'll work for it.
I hear regarding the housing, I hear you. We just updated the housing element, which puts us in a unique situation. It's going to be included because it's already been updated. We did hear loudly and did our best to include in that, recognizing we do have a shortage of, and I will use the term, affordable housing for young families, workers that we need in a plethora of industry. It was noted within that element. Mr. Phelps.
You could put a bullet point here, sir, just increase housing stock. Good. Just a bullet point that says increase housing stock. And that would cover everything, and it would also be consistent with the housing element.
Commissioners, are we good with that? I'm fine with that.
Fine.
Make it so.
Paper.
Just a bullet.
I don't want to bring up an impediment to increasing housing stock.
Under the second.
On Lane Under Street, make it person put in a single wide mobile home.
Increase housing stock.
And $40,000 permit fees. They haven't driven a nail yet. They haven't done $40,000. I mean, you talk about affordable housing.
How intense you can do it.
You better. That's it. I mean, there is a impediment there, and I don't know what the answer is. I'm not saying I know the answer.
All the way up there today.
We're calling a timeout, Mr. Dean.
Oh.
Yes.
Temporary break.
Yeah. Okay. We will take a 5-minute break and return at 10:35. We'll go 10:35. We'll reconvene.